prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 35th chapter of Isaiah, we hear, "With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Dear Lord, we are thankful to return to our work and responsibilities that you have given us. We thank you for safe travel. We thank you that you have shown us that we are to be a joyful people in our living and our working, and that gladness will accompany us through these days of service to the people of Missouri. So let us, with boldness and confidence, ask that we may trust always in your love and mercy and find grace in our time of need. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from St. Francois. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from the 10th. A quorum is present. Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Senator.
Mr. President, Nicholas Berry of KOMU has been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Introduction of guests. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. The young man bringing forward the message from the floor leader to the secretary is Jackson Moon, and his father, Dan, is here. They're both here from Hollister, and I'd like to have him made page for a day and thank him for his service.
The young man will be made a page for the day. Let's welcome the guests of the senator from Lawrence to the Missouri Senate. Introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection.
Senate bills for perfection. The senator from Phelps.
President, I ask that Senate Bill 55 be laid on the informal calendar.
Lay it on the informal calendar. Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 161, I ask that it be laid on the informal calendar.
Yes, sir. Lay it on the informal calendar. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 61 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us for perfection.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator, you have a motion to make before you offer an amendment. You need to move for the bill to be ordered, perfected, and printed.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill number 61 be declared, perfected, and ordered, printed.
You moved it. Okay. Now, do you have a substitute?
No, I have an amendment.
I'll send your amendment forward. For what purpose is Senator from Andrew seek recognition?
I would ask the amendment be distributed and he not close until we have a chance to see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, has the amendment been distributed?
No, it hasn't.
Okay, you have a request that it be distributed. It is extremely brief, about 2.5 lines. We will read it. We'll read it, and then we'll also distribute it.
Mr. President, it's being copied right now.
Yes. Read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Kevany to amend Senate Bill 61, page 1, section 523.040, line 8, by striking the word, quote, 2, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 1, close quote.
Senator?
I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Care to explain it?
Yes, Mr. President. When I first filed this bill, we were each condemnation board currently consists of three commissioners. When I first filed the bill, I was going to require two of them be real estate professionals. After the committee hearing, we decided to reduce that number to only one be required to be a real estate professional.
Okay, Senator. Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion to adopt Senate Amendment Number 1? Senator from Andrews on his feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to inquire the senator from the floor.
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
He yields. You may inquire.
Senator, thanks. Just a quick, can you just give us a quick overview of what, I guess what the overall bill, what you're trying to do, why you're doing it, then it looks like you're striking from 2 to 1. So just instead of two members, only one member needs to be a certified real estate
appraiser.
Or licensed real estate broker or a licensed or certified real estate appraiser.
That's correct. This bill only applies to St. Louis, St. Louis County, and Jackson County.
Right.
There was concern that there wouldn't be enough qualified professionals in some of the outlying areas. Currently what it is, it's an effort to bring some rational real-time market information to the current condemnation proceedings.
Are they trying to underpay now or overpay now, or what's happening that you felt like there needed to be expert insight here?
There's a concern that we're currently overpaying and passing that along to the ratepayers. So hopefully by injecting one real estate professional, we'll have a better market value.
Sounds good. Good enough. I don't want to hold you up. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire, the senator from the 4th.
Does the senator from the 4th yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you very much, Senator, and I appreciate that. During the debate, or not debate, but presentation of this bill in committee, is there any kind of concern that as we limit the number of people that can sit and make these very important decisions, we narrow the universe of the qualified people, that we're going to increase the cost associated with the overall process? Meaning, I'm not familiar, and I will rely on your research on this. Do we prescribe in statute how much someone can charge by the hour or for their services in this role? Or if we, you know, somehow say a real estate professional is here, that person will get, you know, $300 an hour relative to somebody else? Or is this just done as a non-compensable service? How do these commissioners get compensated, I guess?
It's my understanding that they are compensated, and that's determined by the court, by the judge.
By the judge. So my only question is, as we narrow the universe of people that can now qualify for this, would we possibly be, maybe it is your intent, maybe it's not your intent, contributing to the overall cost? Because I know, you know, if we were to put here that, you know, only a lawyer that bills $500 an hour can be an appraiser in this, that the overall cost of the whole process may go up.
That could be a concern, I believe, in some of the rural areas. I believe in the two major metropolitan areas, the pool is large enough to prohibit that.
That you think that there won't be any collusion or price fixing, if you will? I mean, I'm just thinking in Cape County, I know of only two people that are actually, and this just comes from memory as I was looking
for experts in a case to be able to do business valuation appraisals. And in Cape County, I found that there were only two individuals that were even licensed to be able to do that. So if all of a sudden we were to say, and I realize your bill does not apply to Cape County, and it's only in those urban areas, that could we be so narrowing the universe that's there that indirectly these people are in a position to charge even higher fees because we can only use them?
Well, actually, the more I think about it, what this probably does is enhances the universe. Currently, the three commissioners are usually attorneys. So what we're doing is increasing the pool to include all real estate appraisers and professionals.
Well, that's not how I read it. You're saying that somebody must be an appraiser, not that. And I didn't know. I mean, is the statute written that all of them must be lawyers?
No, no, that's just okay. A common practice.
Okay, well, isn't that an issue for the common practice in the courts of your local area as opposed to a matter of the General Assembly?
What we have is a situation where the courts in my area are not appointing real estate professionals, so we're going to the General Assembly and requiring them to appoint at least one.
Okay. And you don't have any concerns that by making that requirement that we're creating a new class of individuals that can operate in this area that may contribute to an escalation in the fees that are paid for that particular service now? Or am I completely off basis? Like I said, I haven't studied this. I'm not familiar at all with your area and how this is done. But in your review, that's just a concern that I see reading your bill, and if you're able to alleviate that concern, or you feel with the knowledge that you have with your local understanding of what goes on, that that's not a concern that you share, I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Well, if we go by the numbers, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's probably 15,000, or there's probably 30,000 licensed attorneys in Missouri.
Okay.
So there's probably 15,000 in St. Louis.
Okay.
So right now our pool is being drawn on 15,000 attorneys from the St. Louis and St. Louis County. By increasing that with the real estate appraisers and real estate professionals, it'll increase that pool to probably another 10,000, I'll say. So now we have a pool of 25 versus 15. It's my feeling that the overall cost of doing that business will come down as a result. A real estate appraiser probably doesn't make what a $500 an hour attorney does.
Right. But we in no way are saying, hey, only this, you know, currently only lawyers can do that. That's by what, a court en banc ruling or just common practice?
Yeah, that's what I think it is, just common practice.
Just common practice. So the courts start getting a tradition of there's out of that 15,000 lawyers, there's probably only maybe 20 of them that even show up on the list. It's sort of like guardian ad litem. A lot of lawyers out there, but there's only so many lawyers that actually have the training and certification to be a guardian ad litem in a child custody or an adoption proceeding. So that's a small universe. Your feeling is by adding, and I appreciate your evaluation and I trust your evaluation, your feeling is that you're broadening the possibility of who can sit in determination of these, even though we are now for the first time in statute prescribing who and who may not.
That's
sit.
Yeah.
But that's your feeling.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
Just like in guardian ad litem, I would imagine there are a lot of attorneys in the St. Louis area that won't even do this kind of work.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be qualified. I mean, I'm not in St. Louis, but I mean, I wouldn't be qualified to do any of that stuff, even though I am an attorney.
And vice versa, there are probably some attorneys that are also real estate
professionals. Right.
So I don't know how much time they'd spend on a condemnation case.
Right.
But
And we still give parties the ability to strike, right? I think it's common practice that they recommend one, or they make recommendations, and then the court picks from. I'm just not as familiar as you may be with that. These just the court prescribes, and you don't really have an ability to strike or object.
I'm not aware of a provision to strike, to
okay.
be honest with you. But that being said, I'm holding a note here. Just with MSD.
I'm sorry, what does that acronym stand for?
Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District.
Okay.
They started, over the last 5 years, they started the condemnation process 34 times. Only 8 ended up going to a panel. They settled it.
Okay.
So well over 95% of their cases, I think, ended up being settled because they don't really take the property. They take an easement so they can lay a sewer line.
Right.
And the owner ends up getting the full use of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you.
Further discussion. The Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
To acquire the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I have some questions about this. I've actually practiced a fair amount in the condemnation world, and I guess I'm wondering why we would require, where we don't now, a licensed real estate broker or a real estate appraiser to be in the area we live, to be on that panel. Could you just walk me through, I guess, how this came about and where the outcry came from to require this?
Well, actually, this came from Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District. They seem to feel that some of their awards are not pertaining to the current market value of what they have to pay to the property that they're receiving. As I said earlier, most of these are easements where the owner really gets the full use of the property once they lay the sewer line.
But through that process, evidence is submitted to that panel to make a determination, and usually you have either a report from an appraiser or testimony or a site visit or all of the above to substantiate those damages. My concern is that we've got a result here they're trying to change, and then the process we've changed to get to that result because of a couple of people or groups, interest groups that they want on those commissions, because right now there's no restriction, correct, as to who could be on there. It could be somebody that wants to serve on it that has experience. It could be a real estate broker. It could be a state certified appraiser right now, but it's not required in statute. Is that accurate?
I think that's very accurate. Yes. And I mean, the flip side of that is it can't do anything but improve the process if we have a licensed professional.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know what, you know, Nancy Smith, who sells real estate in Kirkwood, knows about easements.
Well,
or the value.
It's not so much, I mean, but she knows.
And by the way, if anyone's listening on the internet, that's not a real person in Kirkwood.
I mean, she would know how to do the comparisons, she would know what the other houses on the block would go for. She would know how to get that information.
Well, my experience a lot of times with some of the real estate agents is that they go to the bank to get a bank appraisal, and then they tell their client, here's what the appraisal comes. I don't know if they know anything more than anybody else on the appraisal process. I mean, they know how to list the home and they know comparables, but I guess I'm having a problem understanding why we're requiring a real estate agent. Now, an appraisal, you could make the argument, but if they're qualified, they can go on there right now. We're not setting aside a place for them. Or in St. Louis County, setting aside two of the spaces.
No, it's only one.
For, you know, two industries. And I know that they have a large constituency, but I guess I'm not sure why we'd specifically be earmarking positions for them when they can be on there now anyway.
It's only one space. I've got an amendment on it to bring it down to one.
I thought that dealt with... Okay, so this deals with everybody?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose to be consistent, setting aside one space for those folks when they can already go on there now. I guess I'm just not sure why we're doing that.
Well, again, the idea is to make sure there's at least one person on there that's familiar with the market and familiar with the appraisal process. And I mean, I'm willing to accept an amendment if you want to make it only appraisers.
Well, I mean, to be truthful, Senator, I don't know why either one of these folks would be guaranteed a spot. They may or may not be qualified, and currently if they are qualified, they can go on there anyway.
But you would agree they'd have a level of qualification that is not in statute now.
They could, or you could have three people more qualified, even though they have the qualification, who one of the three gets bumped because we've set aside a position for a real estate agent. Because now all of a sudden, when those panels are created, we have to find enough people who are either real estate appraisers or real estate agents to go on there.
I agree with that. I think
you might be creating more of an issue here where you have less qualified people in those positions that are going on than you have now where you have a broader base to work from. That's my concern because, believe me, these are not you don't get paid particularly well. Yeah. To be on these. Usually you have to take time away to go out to the site. Usually you go back to an office for a formal or informal hearing. You present an appraisal. You have testimony supporting it. You hear from the homeowner. And then, of course, if you don't like it, people can file the exceptions, whether it's MoDOT or MSD or the homeowner or the property owner can file exceptions. And then they can have their case heard in circuit court. And my concern here is that we're setting aside a spot, and I'm not sure why we're doing it for these folks, because they can already go on. If they were currently not allowed to be on, I could understand trying to codify in statute a way for them to be on, but they're not currently barred. So I guess I'm trying to understand how this got to you. And it doesn't make a lot of sense for me that MSD would be all that concerned about it.
They're the ones in particular. I should say
why they would want these two groups. I mean, you could say lawyers, right? You could say lawyers are the primary practice in real estate, right? But they're not in here.
But it's my understanding that's, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that that's the group that fills up the board now.
Attorneys?
Yeah.
I think you have that, and I think you have appraisers that go on. I think you've got agents, real estate professionals that go on. So I guess that's why I don't understand why we're carving out a spot for them. So
it was my understanding that the boards were being comprised entirely of attorneys, and they're trying to at least have one spot on there for a real estate professional.
But they can go on now, right?
I mean, right.
There's nothing to prevent them from being named.
There's nothing to prevent them other than...
My concern is we're trying to get to an outcome for two particular groups here.
I mean...
Because maybe there's not enough qualified people in that group, or they haven't shown the passion to be appointed to these.
And maybe you can explain to me, how do we determine which attorneys to put? How does a judge determine which attorneys to put on the board?
Well, usually it's the ones, I think, that have a lot of experience in that area. They've practiced in that area for a long time. The judge might be comfortable with them and their expertise. I don't particularly care who's on there, but I don't know why we'd be carving out a spot for two groups specifically.
And the answer to that is because MSD thought that some of the awards that was being awarded by non-professionals were exorbitant.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from the 4th, please.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Good evening, Senator.
Good evening.
Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. MSD is in my district, and there were some reasons why they felt it was necessary to make some changes in the appointments. Do you recall exactly what those were?
I don't. I've got a couple of pages here, but...
Didn't it have to do with the purchase of property in the right-of-way and eminent domain type actions?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is all about condemnation boards, yeah.
Yeah, but they were running into some problems about decisions as it related to what was coming from their board or from these three persons. Was that the issue?
They were, like, yes, some of the awards they felt were exorbitant, yes.
They thought the awards were exorbitant.
Yes.
And their feeling was, is I am a real estate broker, and I've been a real estate agent since 1980 and a broker for the past 10 years, and we are quite qualified to make a determination as to what the value of property is. So in reducing the number to just one person in either field is reasonable. Is this not what MSD asked for?
Well, they originally asked for two. And we reduced it down to one after negotiation with the senator from the 10th.
Oh, yes, indeed. She was involved in that. So they're comfortable with having one and the other two would remain attorneys. Is that correct?
Well, the other two won't be specified as attorneys. They could be other real estate professionals.
But thus far, they've been attorneys, though, haven't they?
If
we're only asking for one real estate professional, we're only going to get one. Is that how this is written, or is the possibility of having three appraisers or three brokers? It seemed like when I read the bill originally that they just wanted to take two of the three and make them real estate professionals and leave the third position as an attorney.
Well, I think the bill just specifies right now that at least one has to be a real estate professional. It's silent to the other two. They can be real estate professionals, or they can be attorneys, or they could be people that like to do that kind of thing for a living.
So there's nothing written that says they have to be attorneys, is what I'm understanding.
That's correct.
Okay, so you'd have at least one real estate appraiser and two real estate professional and two others who could be attorneys or real estate professionals or just persons in the community who have an interest.
That's correct.
And they are appointed by whom exactly?
By the judge.
Which judge?
I guess whatever judge where the condemnation proceeding has been filed.
So they don't keep a board. They just have people that they appoint at the time of need.
That's correct.
Case by case.
That's
something
correct.
Along those lines. The other thing I heard in the questioning from the other two senators was what was the policy or the procedure and how these things happen. That was truly, to me, an attorney discussion. I'm a teacher, not an attorney, so I don't, you know, ad litem. I know what that is, having read social workers' reports on students. However, I'm not into all the jargon that comes with being an attorney, but you are an attorney, is that right?
That's Senator? Correct.
Okay. So when the judge would appoint someone, would he have a list of people, or how would he come by those persons, and how do we ensure that indeed a real estate professional would be one of them?
Well, I mean, under the current situation, I believe you heard the testimony from the senator from the 15th usually a judge has some select few that people that he's comfortable with, and he knows their area of expertise.
But even so, he would need something in front of him, so he'd have a list of, you know, like we supposedly do in the state when we have bids under a certain amount, we can look on a list of certified contractors. So does your bill provide that he would have a list, or are we just assuming that he's got something that he does?
My bill does not provide for the creation of a list. I would leave it up to the judge to determine which of the real estate professionals to put on the panel.
Okay. Well, has MSD had any other discussion with you, Senator, about this?
No.
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 Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 22nd, what purpose do you
require? Fire the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I reading your bill, I don't think there's any requirement on who needs to be previous to your bill, who can be one of these commissioners. It just says that a judge shall appoint three disinterested commissioners. So I'm so disinterested in this bill, I could be one of those commissioners.
Yes, you could. And you don't, even if you like the bill, you could still be a commissioner.
Do you think maybe we could change the shall to a may, and then we would encourage a judge to look at these two professionals?
Oh.
Just a question. I'm not saying I'm in favor of that.
I would be reluctant to do that, Senator.
Okay, and I guess in the past it's only the appointments have only been given to attorneys, and I guess the real estate lobbyists think that they ought to have a voice on that board.
You know, you're about the third guy to suggest that to me, and I haven't heard from the real estate lobbyists or the appraisers lobbyists at all. This is okay. Strictly from MSD.
Okay, well, I'm still disinterested. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you. I close.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 61. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We are now on Senate Bill 61. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
President, I now move that Senate Bill Number 61 be declared perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. On Senate Bill for Perfection, on the calendar of Senate Bills for Perfection, the next bill is Senate Bill Number 219. Senator from Christian.
I move that Senate Bill 219 with the committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 219 be adopted.
You've heard the motion. Senator from Christian moves that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 219 be adopted. Senator from Christian, would you care to explain?
Mr. President, this bill, when we have ATMs around the state and all our areas, you can use your bank's ATM for free. If you use another bank's ATM, they generally charge a nominal fee, a dollar maybe. Countries do the same thing or should do the same thing. When Americans go to Europe, they are charged an ATM fee when they use their ATM machines over there. When Europe comes over here, they do not. And this would allow our banks to charge the same fee that they charge everyone else. Someone from out of country is using their ATMs. That's all it does. Be willing to answer any questions.
Senator moves the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
President, to inquire.
Does the senator yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Absolutely friendly inquiry. Am I hearing what I think I'm hearing right now? A bank has the ability to charge you and I for utilizing the services that they provide in an ATM.
But not
but
someone
if somebody
from
comes
a foreign
from
country.
Europe, they get to use the ATM for free?
That is correct.
Wow.
And it basically, in a lot of areas, particularly students, will use their ATM cards, and foreign students, and there is no charge to them.
So we're not singling out, we're not saying we don't like foreigners. We're just saying...
Putting everybody on an even playing field.
If you use the ATM, you pay the fee. I like it. Thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of Senate Bill Committee Substitute.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. We're now on the Senate Bill 219. Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 219?
Mr. President, I now move...
Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I renew my motion, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 219, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No!
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. On the perfection calendar, the next bill is also from the Senator from Christian, Senate Bill 284.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 284 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 284 be declared perfected and ordered, printed. Sorry.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment, or rather moves that Senate Bill 284 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Is there any discussion on that motion? Senator from the 13th.
Require the senator.
From Christian. Christian. Senator from Christian, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
First off, a little friendly advice. When you have a bill, voting for it helps. So in the future. The reason I'm getting up is I just want to make sure, because I see this pharmacy, is there's this other issue out there that's dealing with being able to purchase a drug, and I want to make sure in no way, shape, or form that is in here.
This does not. Senator, what this bill is concerned with strictly is Legend Drugs for clinical testing, like cancer patients, that sort of thing, in clinical hospitals or clinics in this state. Right now, I think we're the only state in the nation that makes those people be licensed for those drugs. And this just simply says that they don't have to be if they're under other federal approval.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that other issue.
It doesn't have anything to do with that other.
Getting on there, because sometimes we legislate to make it inconvenient for the lawful citizen and make it inconvenient for the lawful citizen, and I get frustrated with that.
Right.
Coming from a Democrat. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would seek unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease, because I have an amendment to be prepared, but our able staff has not yet had an opportunity to prepare the emergency clause.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. The Senate is now back in session. The Senator from Clay has the floor. Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. I'd ask that it be sent forward and read. It's short. It is an emergency clause.
Thank you. Please send the amendment forward. And Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Ridgeway, to amend Senate Bill 284, page 5, section 338.330, line 47, by inserting after all of said line the following, quote, section B, because immediate action is necessary to ensure the continuance of clinical trials in this state, the repeal and reenactment of section 338.330 of section A of this act is deemed necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, welfare, peace, and safety, and is hereby declared to be an emergency act within the meaning of the Constitution and the repeal and reenactment of Section 338.330 of Section A of this Act shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and approval, close quote, and further amend the title accordingly.
Senator from Clay, would you care to explain that amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the amendment. This amendment is an emergency clause on the portion of the bill having to do with the use of Legend drugs. The emergency clause is necessary to be able to continue some clinical trials that we know of that are ongoing in the southwest portion of our state. It has the support of the pharmacy board within the Missouri, here in Missouri. And that's all it does, is it just allows those clinical trials to continue through an emergency clause.
The senator from Clay moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Senator from Christian, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Clayton.
Does the senator yield?
I yield.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, I appreciate you doing this, as I understand it, particularly at Children's Hospital, I believe was one of the main clinical trials that's ongoing right now for children. I can't remember whether it's cancer or urinary. I can't remember, but it's a pretty important clinical trial, and it would end if we don't do this. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. We've already been told that there are certain clinical trials, because these drugs can no longer be shipped into the state for human clinical trials, that those trials would end, thereby potentially endangering the life of those that are participating in those clinical trials. We're just adding the emergency clause to ensure that that gap closes and they will be able to legally transport the drugs into the state of Missouri and continue the clinical trials.
And you at JCAR, working with the Board of Pharmacy, have gotten them this far. And
yes, that's correct. Kimberly, Connie Clarkson, and everyone, and I'm sure that they've probably contacted some of our members, very much in support of this emergency clause, and it also solves a problem that couldn't be resolved through the rule process.
I appreciate the amendments. Good amendments, Senator.
Thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Further discussion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from Christian?
Senator Yeom? He does. Proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator. I heard the explanation of your bill. I wanted to go over the first part of the bill, which is, do you still retain this part about the Board of Pharmacy and the disciplinary action? Could you kind of maybe illuminate that a little bit?
Yes, Senator, I appreciate you asking about it. When we put this bill forth, we worked with the Board of Pharmacy. They had a few things that they kind of wanted put in, and I allowed them to do that. Their disciplinary, if there is someone at one of these companies that has committed a crime in a managerial or the pharmacist that works at the company, they have the right to pull that license and of that company and not accept that drug. Let me read it to you. The proposed change would allow the board to deny an applicant if the designated pharmacist in charge, manager in charge, or any officer, owner, manager, or controlling shareholder of the applicant has committed any act or practice that constitutes grounds for discipline under the current law.
So I guess so I understand, in the status quo, what happens from what you understand? Do they have no power?
Exactly. They were concerned if this passed without that piece, they might not be able to control a bad operator or a bad apple in the barrel.
And then discipline is internally within the bar. We're dealing with a board's disciplinary statute.
Right.
So in statute is a code of conduct that would be illegal. I mean, what I mean is, we're not dealing with just a board with a disciplinary code.
Right.
Their code is actually part of statute.
Yes.
And if somebody violated one of those disciplines that is enumerated in statute, then the board would have the authority to yank the license.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have any concerns how the board would find out about this? I mean, if you've removed an employee's ability to see something wrong and report it. So let's say after August 28th, when the at-will bill becomes law, and you work for a pharmacy, you work for a company, and that employee wants to report that they see something wrong, if that other bill that we talked about last week becomes law, they'd have to wait for it to be an illegal act to report it, or they might lose their job, right?
I suppose that's possible. If they knew it was an illegal act, I think they can report it, but...
Yeah, but we're not writing it that way, you know. I mean, I'm not... I just wanted to make clear that we understood that you can't have a reasonable expectation that something's illegal anymore. It's got to be actually illegal. So I wanted to tie, if you didn't mind, your legislation
right.
in the real world to the other piece of legislation. So you could work there and see something wrong, but you can't really report it anymore unless you know for a fact that it's going to be upheld that it violated the disciplinary statute of the pharmacy.
I suppose that's very possible.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. I'm not very bright, but I just want to make sure, and I kind of wanted to tie a couple of these pieces of legislation together that with your act, while we like your act, if you work at one of these places and see something wrong, you could still be fired unless it turns out that it's completely illegal. You can't just have an anticipation or an expectation that it might be illegal.
I get your point.
Because I just wanted to talk about the world potentially post of August 28th, that, you know, this disciplinary code, and if I work there and I think the guy's doing something wrong or the other employee's doing something wrong or the company's doing something wrong, I've got to make sure that it's absolutely, totally illegal because I can't have a reasonable expectation anymore.
You got to make sure. You're right.
All right. Your bill's important. I just want to make sure that, you know, in the real world, we kind of tied your bill of what might happen after August 28th. So thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
I didn't want to try to drag you into getting in trouble.
Thank you, Senator.
All right. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I wasn't paying attention right out first, but then I think I realized that your bill affects a problem that's occurring in St. Joe with one of the wholesale drug distributors there. Is that correct?
Senator, if you're talking about animal products, it does not. No.
Okay, this wouldn't have anything to do with the UPCO problem.
Not that I know of. I've been told it absolutely does not.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the Senator from Clay is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Clay moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 284. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We're back on Senate Bill Number 284. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the Senator from Christian is recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from Christian moves that Senate Bill 284 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. This bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on the perfection calendar, the next bill is Senate Bill Number 173. Senate Bill Number 173, Senator from...
President.
From the 30th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 173 be laid on the informal calendar.
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Next bill is Senate Bill 254. Senate Bill 254, Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, would you please roll that to the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Next bill on the perfection calendar is also for the Senator from Saline, Senate Bill 120.
Would you please place that on the informal calendar?
That bill will also be placed on the informal calendar. Next bill, the Senator from Boone, Senate Bill Number 135. Senate Bill Number 135, Senator from Boone, I'm sorry, Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Senator from Boone is, my understanding, no longer in the building. Would you ask the Secretary if it would be in order for me to ask that bill placed on the informal calendar?
That would be appropriate. And you're
Thank
asking
you.
That be placed on the informal
like
calendar, and it will be placed
calendar.
On the informal calendar. Next bill on the perfection calendar is Senate Bill 207, Senator from Atchison.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 207 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. As appear to have it, the ayes do have it. Senator from Holm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 207 be perfected and printed. Essentially what Senate Bill 207 does is it repeals the requirement that the Missouri Energy Task Force must meet at least once annually to review the progress. Essentially what has happened is this was put together by executive order, I think it was in the 2005 timeframe. The initial work that was done was good work, very, very cumbersome, very, very involved. And now what happens is every year the group has to meet regardless of whether they need to or not. It's very cumbersome on the staff's perspective. It takes a lot of time and resources to keep all this going. And so everyone involved agrees that, to be very candid, the annual meeting requirement is not there. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. If not, I would renew my motion.
Senator from Davies moves the adoption of Senate Bill number 207. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew moves that Senate Bill 207 to be declared perfected and ordered and printed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have declared Senate Bill number 207 perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me. Just a secretary, if there are messages from the House, and if there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, would you please read the messages from the House?
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Bill 76, an act relating to the phase-out of the corporate franchise tax. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bills 276, 233, and 274, an act relating to unlawful picketing of a funeral. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 116 and 316, an act relating to collection of state money, emergency clause adopted. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 136, an act relating to benefits for military spouses. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 214, an act relating to human trafficking. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 61, an act relating to the minimum wage. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 108, an act relating to campaign finance, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor, and if there are, I would ask for a waiver of the reading and that they be printed in the journal.
There are messages from the Governor, and seeing no objection, they will be printed in the journal. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my understanding that there's an addendum to some appointees that the governor has submitted. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator, that is correct.
Mr. President, would you please refer that appointment to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
That will be referred to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. I ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Announcement, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask members to prepare for the following bills tomorrow: Senate Bill 23, Senate Bill 113, Senate Bill 254, and Senate Bill 135.
Further announcements. Further announcements. Seeing none, the senator from the 23rd is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.